I'm going to read verses 12 to 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 27. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I am not part of the body, it is not for this reason any less part of the body. And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body, it is not for this reason any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the foot, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on those we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable. And whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to the member which lacks, so that there would be maybe no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body, and individually members of it. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the truth that we are the body of Christ. We are this group of people that you have brought together by your grace, that we have been baptized into the body by the Lord Jesus with the Holy Spirit, that we might come together and give the picture of the great variety of gifts and variety of ministries and variety of effects that you desire to accomplish as our God. Lord, may your glory be on display in us as we desire to be beautiful for you and to be a body of believers for your sake, with you at the head, and we're the body. I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would bring about the correction in each of us and in this church body that is needed at this time for what you have prepared and planned for us in the coming days, so that we might see in you all that is needed, that we might find in you all that we would desire. And indeed, we would rejoice and give thanks to you for your provision. Lord, speak to us now. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts that are sensitive to your word, that we would be Christ's body here at New Life Fellowship, according to the teaching of your word, that you would receive all the glory. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So good to be together. This morning, again, we are beginning just a series of special messages. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And what we learn here is about what it means to be the church body. We learn and grow how we might minister to one another as a church family using the spiritual gifts bestowed upon this body of believers. And this is a Christian ministry through every gifted individual as members of the body of Christ. Therefore, the presence and the work of the Spirit of God through every member. The New Testament is full of images that describe the church. We are described as the flock of God. Indeed, Jesus is the good shepherd and we are his sheep. According to John chapter 10, that his sheep hear his voice and they what? Follow him. The imagery that is given to us also of a people of God, of the temple of God, of the bride of Christ, the vine and the branches, a building. But this imagery here, the body of Christ, which we are one body with many members, with Christ Jesus as the head, is a glorious picture that is given to us. And what we must see and must be important to us, must be more important to us, that the Christian life is a call to do things together with others, to be together, to understand the one another's, to understand why Jesus has brought us together. It's a great privilege for me to be with you and to be in this body of believers, to be part of this body and to use the gifts that God has given me so that you would be equipped and trained to use the gifts that God has given you so that we would see the building up of the body of Christ here. But it doesn't lie on the shoulders of one person. Each one must do their work. Each one must use the gifts we've been given. Each member has an important part in the body. In our time this morning, I want you to consider that. I want you really and to honestly take and to think, take inventory and consider, what part of the body am I playing right now? What place has God given me in this church body and the gifts that He's given me so that we would show the unity of the body and the diversity of the gifts as a church body, that Christ's body here represented in New Life Fellowship would give Him glory? It means it'd be less about me and what I want and more about others. More about why God has designed us and put us together and the purposes and plans that He has for us. And not just my own agenda. It would be His will that would rule and not my will that would decide. Understanding and thinking through these things, look with me at this passage as I'm just going to skip through some things here and I'm going to try not to go too fast for you this morning. 1 Corinthians 12, look at verse 7. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. He's emphasizing in this chapter the ministry of the Spirit of God in giving these gifts. And there is to be this, each one that is given a gift, a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good for others. Verse 11, but the one and same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually, just as He wills. All the different ways that God is working and the gifts that are given, it's the work of the Spirit and His will on display. Verse 12, for even as the body is one and yet has many members, all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. And Paul uses the imagery here of the physical body, and he's describing that this is what the church looks like. Many members, one body. Many gifts, he says it in verse 4, the variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5, but there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. Verse 6, there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. See, the church at Corinth had forgotten that. It had become more about them, and that's why there was so much division. And there was really chaos. And people were clamoring to have the most outrageous, the most showy kinds of gifts, and they were neglecting the whole body in that regard. Remember, even in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, they would go to the Lord's Supper and there'd be people eating the food up before everybody could partake. And so he has to say, you need to wait for one another. Imagine. And Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he doesn't want them to be ignorant. Verse 1, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. I would even dare say to you this morning, the reason why people are not more involved in church ministry is because they are ignorant of spiritual gifts. They don't understand the design and desire that God has, the plan and purpose that God has for the church as the body of Christ and what that means. And we get to gather together and be a living testimony. Verse 18, notice the emphasis again. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as He desired. Verse 24, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body. Verse 27, now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. When we gather together as a church body, as we meet as a church body, as we minister as a church body, we are to give testimony of who God is, what He has done. the gifts that are on display. That every single person who is a believer in the Lord Jesus, everyone who has received the Holy Spirit, as we've been talking about in the Gospel of John, the Son comes down to earth, walks among men, teaches about the way to heaven, that He's the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And then He goes to the cross and dies on the cross, pays the penalty for our sin, is resurrected from the dead, and goes back to the Father, as He said over and over again in the upper room to His disciples, so that He might send the Spirit of God, and that we would be the church body. It's so wonderful when you think of it that way and understanding. It is wonderful to understand and to see and to consider the testimony that God has given. Now, I want to give us a few preliminary ideas here before we jump into the heart of the message, which is going to be in verses 14 to 27. But there are some things I want to say before we get to that point. And hang on, here we go. It's all in your notes. So if I skip over something and you don't understand, it's written down. And ask me about it later on. I don't want to dive too deeply into some of these things. I'm trying to get to verse 14. Considering the beginning of this chapter, Christian ministry is the variety of gifts and the diversity of individuals in the church body, manifesting the Spirit of God for the common good. That's the reality. Verse 7 again. Look at it with me. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, for others. And so a lack of understanding the use of spiritual gifts in church ministry will hinder the working of the Spirit in and through the church of God. It hinders His work if we don't understand the gifts that have been given. Each one has been given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. That'd be a good thing to pray for us. Lord, may each of us give and that be that testimony of the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. That every believer and every bestowal of a gift is for the benefit of all, for the common good. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, what do you have that you have not already received? Why do you boast as though you didn't receive it? You see somebody that's doing something and you say, wow, look at how they do that. Jesus is to get the glory. The Spirit of God is to be glorified. And as the Spirit of God is glorified in the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, what did Jesus say the Spirit was going to do? He's going to glorify me. And that's how we're able to be part of the body of Christ. You and I cannot be the body of Christ and be members of this one body without the ministry of the Spirit of God in our lives. And that's why you see sometimes there's like chaotic, divisive trouble. It's people trying to do church ministry in the arm of the flesh and not the Spirit of God. It's not the fruit of the Spirit on display, it's the deeds of the flesh. And Paul warned us, did he not? We've been talking about this with the men on Wednesday night. But I say to you also, walk by the Spirit, you'll not carry out the desires of the flesh. Oh, it's always there. And I would even dare say to you this morning, that one of the key ways that you and I can have victory over the flesh is that we get serious about being a member of the body of Christ. And we begin to live not for our own sake, but for what's the good of other people. And that the Spirit of God would lay claim upon my life and the gifts that He's given me would be manifested in the body of Christ here at New Life Fellowship. That will deal with the flesh in your life. And it's the same principle. Not only do people... You try to do church ministry in the arm of the flesh, and it disrupts the purposes the Spirit has and the gifts He's given. But some people choose not to participate at all because of the flesh. I'm not really that interested. I'm kind of indifferent. I have other things I need to be doing and other places I need to be right now. Don't you know how busy I am? These are all distractions that Satan brings into our lives. And so we come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and we realize again, what is the purpose that God has for us to come together as a church body? Not only the variety of gifts and the diversity of individuals in church body manifesting the Spirit of God for the common good, but church ministry reveals the unity of the body and the diversity of the members. And that's what he's saying in verses 12 and 13. And a lack of functioning according to the desires of the Spirit in church ministry will cause the deviating from the design of God for His church. The structure of the body is one with many members. The nature of the body is one body, one spirit in one body. That's what he says in verses 12 and 14. It's one spirit and one body. And we're to give testimony of that, that there's one spirit who has given these gifts and there's one body. Now, there's one body of Christ as a whole, right? Big C church. But then the little C church, the gathering together with the believers that you and I actually interact with every week. And that we look at the New Testament, and by the way, the majority of the books written in the New Testament are written to who? Churches that were gathered together. And even this, the church at Corinth was given this very specific instruction. So it's instruction not just to them as a local church, but every church body that would gather in Jesus' name, and the ministry of the Spirit of God would be on display, and that we would understand what that means. I remind you again of what God very clearly has said to us in a number of places. In Romans chapter 12, verses 4 to 6, "For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly." And so the emphasis here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is found in other places, and we understand that and we recognize the nature of that. Verse 14. Here we see in this section that Christian ministry teaches the unity of the body and the activity of the functions of each member of the body of Christ. Just like there are different members of the human body, there are different purposes that God has designed for different parts of your body, different abilities that different parts of your body have, different functions and roles and designs that are given. It's the same way with the body of Christ. And yet at the church at Corinth, there was a great misunderstanding and a misrepresenting of what this means. And I would even say in the day that we live in too, there's a lot of misunderstanding and misrepresenting what it means. And so we've entitled the message simply this morning, "Being Members of the Body of Christ." If you begin to think like that, I'm a member of this body of Christ. God has gifted me and gifted me to use my gifts in this body, to build up this body, to show that we have unity and diversity. Isn't that wonderful? And by the way, that's one of the things that God has done to preserve the unity of the body, is that each member is functioning the way that it ought to function. Beware of the one who isn't really operating and functioning as a member of the body of Christ or using their gifts, and they have much to say, right? The ones that are engaged, involved, understanding the role that they have and that God has given to us. And notice there are just two main ideas I want us to think through here. Misunderstanding the importance of your place being a member of the church body in verses 15 to 20. And then in verses 21 to 27, misrepresenting the significance of your place being a member of the church body. And you're going to see how these are like the two extremes, and every problem that occurs, every lack of involvement that occurs, is in between these two points. Notice how he begins, misunderstanding the importance of your place being a member of the church body. Verse 15, or verse 14, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, 'Because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any less part of the body. And if the ear says, 'Because I'm not of an eye, I'm not part of the body,' it's not for this reason any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. And if they are all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body." He begins here by talking about a defective attitude of insignificance. And you can clearly see it in the text. The foot says, "Because I'm not a hand, I am not" what? "Part of the body." It's kind of a silly illustration, because you say, no, foot, you're still part of the body, you're just not like the hand. Let me explain to you the differences, right? And so Paul is building into that illustration a great understanding that you don't get rid of it. It's not part of the body because it's not like one other part of the body. And yet some people believe that, well, because I'm not like them. They're like the foot. Because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body. And then what do? They act like it. Well, there's not really much for me to do here, and I guess there's really no place, and I really don't have a function, and I just... No. It's a defective attitude of insignificance when you say I'm not part of the body. This kind of attitude is the I'm nothing and they're something. And the reason why this was happening, especially in the church at Corinth, is because of all this clamoring for these showy sign gifts that were showing off all this power. And the people that had the in the minds of some of those people, the lesser gifts were kind of left behind. Well, where do I fit? I don't think I have that gift. Do I even fit here? There's a unity that involves a mutual dependence and a ministry together. This is undervaluing. Notice it again in verse 15. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body. It is not for this reason less part of the body. Paul states it very plainly and helps us understand in recognizing this defective attitude of insignificance. But there's something else here too. When you and I, are personally using our gifts, it promotes the unity of the body. When we use those gifts, it promotes the unity of the body. You want to promote the unity of the body of Christ here? You need to be using the gifts that God has given you to promote the unity of the body. We don't say, I'm not part of the body because I'm not like that guy and I can't do those things and all these different things. And see, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the so many different ways that people serve. So many different ways that people teach in this church body. But there's a great danger because sometimes if we're not as involved as we ought to be, we miss out on that. We miss out on seeing the ways that different people can serve and the different ways people can teach. Because we're not as involved in the body as we ought to be. We kind of come and go because we think, well, nobody really missed me. Maybe this kind of person wakes up in the morning and says, I don't know. I don't know if they'll even know I'm gone. We know you're gone. We know when you're not here. We want you to be with us. If you're a member of the body of Christ, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, you've been given the Spirit of God, you've been given a gift. And so the defective attitude of insignificance. And it's the foot to the hand and the ear to the eye. And you have to understand, right, the extremes of that. Those two parts of the body are totally different. And I heard one person say, and I was reading about it, it's like to even compare the ear and the eye, it's not even right. Because none of us look at another person's ears and say, wow. And some people, they decorate the ears to make it more beautiful, but it's still an ear, right? Have you ever noticed that? It's still an ear. But the eye. Oh, there's something special about the eye. And yet both have a function. God designed both of them. And you would never say, well, because my ear is not like my eye, I don't need my ear. And my ear is really not part of the body. No. Not only a defective attitude of insignificance, but notice as he continues on to explain to us, verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But God now has placed the members, each one of them in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And from the defective attitude of insignificance, we see the unity of a body with the biblical approach as a body. And Paul's drawing us in. God has placed the members. Look at verse 18. It's like he slows it down for us here, and he gives us four truths in verse 18. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. Why such emphasis? Because Paul wants us to understand, God is trying to teach us, dear friend, that every single one of us who are members of the body of Christ, God has a plan and purpose for you in this body. And that's when it gets real exciting. Because you realize, oh, this is why I'm here. God has me here, and he's placed me here. And you can say it out loud, God has placed me as a member of this body, this one here, in this body, just as he desired, so that I would do his will. Isn't that wonderful? But there's something that needs to happen in our hearts. We need to take a step back and say, it's what he wills and not what I will. It's not just what I want to do. What does God desire for you to do? And I'm so grateful for so many of you that have answered that call. You say, God desires me to serve in this way and to teach in this way and to care for these ones. And you understand, right, if every single one of us who are a part of the body of Christ here and we recognize and understood what God desired and we were really seeking to do his will, we would never have to ask for help for anything. It's one of those things that we get kind of uncomfortable. We start thinking about it. It is a sign that something's unhealthy. If key things that need to happen, we don't have people to serve when God has given those gifts. God, would you raise up those who you've desired to serve in that way? You've placed them in this body. That one you placed in the body as a member, that they would do what you desire. Would you do that? So it's almost like you have to say, Lord, would you raise up those who you desire to help in the Awana ministry this fall? And we're going to need workers. And guess what? If you really want God to bless the ministry, what's going to happen? You're going to need what? More workers. If we have more families and more children, we're going to need more workers in the nursery and the toddler room. We have more people that are coming in, we'll need more help with the ushers and the greeters. And I don't know if you know this or not, but we are several people down in the sound booth. We are in desperate need for workers in all these areas right now. And there are some of you that are here that God is saying, I desire for you to be used by me in this body, as a member of this body. And so the emphasis here is not my gift. It's not, well, what is my gift? And there's different things to think about in this regard. Sometimes people try to chase after a gift. It's really about the gifts that he's given. What gift has been given, and how am I useful as the gifted one in this church body? How does God desire for me to be used? I was mentioning this at the community group on Thursday night. Too many times we're thinking how we want to use God instead of God using us. And that's really what the church, the body of Christ is about, seeing how God would use us for his plans and purposes. Again, verse 18, just as he desired. And so we come together as a church body and we give expression to the reality that God has placed people in this body, each one of them in the body, just as he desired. And so whatever ministry that you're a part of here is not a lesser than ministry. It's saying, I'm doing what God desires me to do in this church body. And we're in a season in the life of this church body, dear friends, where we need more and more people to step forward and to say, I'm willing to be that person, to take my place. Enough with the defective attitude of insignificance. I'm not really part of the body. No, you are, as a believer in Jesus. And so the unity of the body with the biblical approach as a body, that we would see these things that are happening in the midst of it. And it's so wonderful because verse 19, look at it. If they were all one member, where would the body be? And it's this idea that you ought to, as a member of the body of Christ, glory in the body that God has brought together and want that body to be expressed. So you use your gifts for that purpose, that the body of Christ would be on display. And then notice again verse 20. But now there are many members but one body. Just like the human body. I love going to the orchestra or the symphony. I love watching such a wide range of individuals playing such a wide range of instruments to perform a sound that is very pleasing to my ear. Matter of fact, sometimes I catch myself on YouTube and I'm watching videos of symphonies that are playing soundtracks to different movies and different things, because I'm like, I want to see each instrument and what part they're playing. And it would amaze you what instruments are making, what sounds, and all the instruments that are needed to make these soundtracks. And again, in recent years, one of my favorite instruments has become the clarinet, because I have a personal favorite clarinetist in our family. So I must admit, when I go and I'm looking for the clarinet player now, and I'm watching, and she's very shy sometimes, but she is the first chair in her school's band. She has been for a couple years. It's very humbling when the seventh grader beat out the ninth grader, but that's a whole other story. But the point is the sound, right, that's being made and understood. Did you know that in an orchestra or a symphony, right, the symphony is the music, the orchestra is all, that there are different instruments, different parts. There are really four families. You have the stringed instruments, right, and the woodwinds and the brass and the percussion, and they all come together and they make this beautiful sound. And it would not nearly be as special if one of those parts was not there. See, we need to understand what God wants to do here at New Life Fellowship. You may not be the first chair. You may not be able to play the drums like that person over there, but surely there's a part for you to have in this body, because God has desired that and designed it that way. That we're to give and to receive as a church body. We're to love and serve, to believe and to have that. That this understanding of this, and it's so wonderful, is it not? So the misunderstanding of the importance of your place being a member of the church body, that none of us would say, I'm not part of this body. There wouldn't be this defective attitude of insignificance. There would be the unity of a body with the biblical approach as a body. I would even say it very clearly to you, what place are you taking and what are you doing in this church body to show that we are Christ's body? And the gifts have been given. And the ministry is to be done. The culture tells you, you can sit back and watch. Because we're a spectator culture. I mean, Seahawks played last night. Some of you know that. But nobody going to the game was planning on jumping out of the seat and getting on the field. I didn't come to play the game. I came to watch the game. And I cheer when they do something great. And I boo when they do things I don't like. Sometimes church culture could be like that. I just came this morning to watch. I didn't really come to do anything. To have a picture of the church body is a much different thing. And dear friends, you need to understand, we've had people in this church body that have been serving for decades, faithfully. And what a great blessing it would be for some of you that are newer here. I'm ready to take my place. I'm ready to say, I'm in. I'm part of this body. God desires that I'll serve, and I want to serve. And then there's another category here that he mentions. It is the misrepresenting the significance of your place, being a member of the church body. Notice how he says in verse 21, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. And again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And then there's a full stop, and he goes on to explain in verses 23 and 24 how we bestow special honor on certain parts of our body that are less than, but we cover them up. And really he's talking about we're modest with those parts of the body. There are certain parts of our body that we don't even realize. We didn't get up this morning and check in on our stomach or our liver or our intestine. But we looked in the mirror and certain parts of the body were getting ready. And for most of us, we arrived this morning and most of our body is covered up, and there's only certain parts of our body that people can't even see. So we wash our hands, we wash our face. But notice what he says in verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. This is the opposite, right? The first defective attitude of insignificance was, I'm not a part of the body. Here is a divisive attitude of independence. I have no need of you. Look at it again, verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. And again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. And you would say, somebody would really say that? Well, you may never say it out loud, but your involvement with them tells you that you don't have need of them. Your being with them shows them you don't need them. And I believe the same thing that was goes on in the American culture, in the American church, was happening in the church at Corinth. There were people coming and going. And once their part was done, they were gone. It'd be like the pastor. Wouldn't it be weird if I just showed up at, what time's the music going to be done? 11:25? Okay, I'll be there at 11:25. You'd be like, what? And then I leave right after I'm done. I'm out of here before the last song is even done. I'm in my car and I'm gone. You'd be like, what? The pastor shouldn't do that. And you're right, he shouldn't do that. But the reason I don't do that isn't because I'm just the pastor. It's because I believe I have certain gifts that God has given that I need to be using in this body, and it, of necessity, that I be present. And I have a need to be present. I have a need for you, and you have a need for me. And it's so important when you understand that. Because individually, we're using our gifts. It pictures the diversity of the body. And I want you to see something here. I saw this and I'd never seen it before. In verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. And again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. You know what stood out to me? At the end of verse 16, he ended with the eye when he was talking about the defective attitude of insignificance. But when he starts with the divisive attitude of independence, he starts with the eye where he ended. And did you notice where he ends with the divisive attitude of independence? He ends with the foot. Where he started with the defective attitude of insignificance. And what does that mean, dear friend? It means that there's a wide range of things that are happening in between these attitudes. It doesn't really matter what part of the body you are susceptible to having either a defective attitude of insignificance or a divisive attitude of independence, where I might say, I have no need of you, but it's necessary. Did you see the end in verse 22? The members of the body, it is much true that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. I would even say it to you this way. Is there somebody in this church body that you look at and you say, they're weaker? Then the Bible says they're actually necessary. And then the ministry of the body with the biblical action as a body. We mentioned already verses 22 and 23. 24, he says that where our more presentable members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body to give more abundant honor to the member that lacked. And so we're divinely composed. Look at it again, verse 24. God has so composed the body. And it's a wonderful picture that we're divinely composed according to the plan and purpose of God. That God has a plan and purpose for us as we come together as a body. And it's His plan and purpose. And He's brought us together and fit us together in such a way. And the truths that are declared here, He does that. So verse 25, so there'll be no division in the body. And that the members may have care for one another. And then look at verse 26. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. I mean, we could go a long ways, could we not, if we just began to say, well, one of the things I'm supposed to do is here to have care for other members of the body. So who do I need to care for? What are the ways that God has gifted me to care for other people in this church body? In some ways, that is the rising heart of the pastor in any church, should be great care for the members of the body. and all the different things that are done. And some of you know and understand that all the many things that are done here, that I believe it is a blessing to be here and to do these things, to exercise these gifts in such a way that this body be built up and show itself to be members of the body of Christ, which I am a member of also. And understanding that the ministry of the body with the biblical action as a body, there'd be no division, we would have care for one another, that we would rejoice and we would suffer those who suffer and honor those who are honored. I remember when we were teaching the young marriage group back in Byron Center, Michigan in my residency. We were teaching the young marriage group and we came in one Sunday morning, and it still gets me emotional. A couple that had been wanting to have children that they didn't think were going to have any children had found out they were pregnant. And you could just tell, they were ready to tell, like, yeah, you're going to tell the group. But there was another couple there. And they just had a miscarriage. So what do? I remember the couple that had the miscarriage went over to that couple that just found out they're pregnant, put their arms around them, and rejoiced with them. And then the couple that just found out that they were pregnant looked at this couple that just miscarried, and they began to have tears in their eyes. Powerful. That's why we ought to share what's going on in our lives. Because we need to suffer. And we need to rejoice in understanding these things. By the way, verse 27, when he says it to us very plainly, now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. I believe this is what Paul's doing. Be this. Be this. Be this kind of church body. Be this. Do the things that the body is supposed to do. Be members of the body of Christ. Be individuals that are members of this one body, and there's many of you. Do that. Look at it again, verse 27. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. There's your charge. Go do it. There's a story. And I don't even know where this came from. I came across this, and I'm not sure what the source of it, but it says it this way. When people hear the phrase, the body of Christ, some think it refers to the literal body of Jesus, like the one he had while on the earth. The term actually refers to the members of his church throughout the history. Therefore, every Christian is a part of the body of Christ, just like a human body. The body of Christ is made up of many different parts, but are all meant to function together in unity. Limbs, which left alone are useless, when they come together, there is movement and purpose. The ultimate purpose of every Christian is to glorify God. Now imagine the power that comes from a church that functions as a whole unit with every part of the body in its place. Sadly, the Corinthian Christians were a bunch of separated limbs, and I'm not sure where it was first told, but here's the story that would sum it up well. A carpenter's tools were having a conference. Brother Hammer was presiding there, but the others informed him that he had to leave because he was too busy. All right, he said, I'll go, but Brother Plain must withdraw also. There's no depth to his work. It's always on the surface. And Brother Plain responded, well, Brother Rule will also have to go too. He's constantly measuring people as if he were the only one who's right. Brother Rule then complained about Brother Sandpaper, saying he's rougher than he ought to be. He's very abrasive, and he's always rubbing people the wrong way. Brother Sandpaper was annoyed by Brother Saw, claimed that he had a very sharp and cutting personality. And Brother Saw leveled his criticism at Brother Level, saying that he always tend to blame others for being crooked and unbalanced. Brother Level had a major problem with Brother Handrill, accusing him of coming along and sticking his long, penetrating nose into other people's business. And once you know it, Brother Handrill was really bothered by Brother Clamp, because Clamp always seemed so uptight and never seemed relaxed. In the midst of this bitter discussion, the carpenter of Nazareth walked in. And he spoke sternly to all the tools and rebuked them and told them to hold their peace. He shared with them that every one of them had a purpose and that they were uniquely made to fulfill that purpose. He told them that every one of them was important and had a very special job to do. And the carpenter told them that he needed every one of them in order to do his work. He then went to his workbench, to make a pulpit for which to preach the gospel. And he used the hammer, the plane, the rule, the sandpaper, the saw, the level, the hand drill, and the clamp. Not one tool was untouched or unused. And after the pulpit was finished, Brother Rule rose and said, "I see now that all of us are laborers together with God. There's no such thing as an unemployed Christian in the church. We all have something to contribute, and we all need each other to accomplish the work that God has for us." Now notice on your notes there the conclusion. There's an encouragement and an exhortation for us to being members of the body of Christ. Some of you are encouraged. You're like, "Yeah, I'm going to keep serving that way, and God's going to use me in this way, and I'm wonderful." But some of you need to receive the exhortation and say, "I'm going to be a member of this body of Christ. I'm going to use the gifts that God has given. I'm going to recognize that God has placed me here in the body, each one of us, including me, just as he desired." That we would be the body of Christ here. And so notice your notes there in conclusion here, thinking through this. This text would confront any spectator mindset and every attender-only mentality. And I would even dare say to you this morning, are you absolutely clear that your involvement in this church and your understanding of the church body is represented in what you believe and what God has taught us here in 1 Corinthians 12? And if it is not, then I would call upon you to make the changes that God wants you to make now. Because I believe in this church body, the things that God is already beginning to do, we're going to need this body fully functioning the way God wants it to function, because he's placed people here as he's desired. Secondly, each one gifted is necessary and needed for the Spirit has given to the body. Everyone who has a gift is necessary and needed. And we need to see ourselves that way. We need to recognize and understand the opportunities that we have to be not only here on Sunday mornings, but some of us need to join us at 9 a.m. for our prayer time and be involved in the life studies group and help out with the different classes that are going on and be involved in the Bible studies and the community groups that are starting up in September and coming alongside and helping with Awana and getting involved there and helping in the sound booth and helping with the greeting and the ushering and helping with the children downstairs in the nursery. The unity of the body and the ministry of the body being our Christian testimony. That's our Christian testimony. Here we are, unified as one body with many members, and the ministry of the members of the body, this is our Christian testimony, because we are Christ's body. I belong to Christ's body. I am his. He is mine. That he would receive the glory and honor. Dear friend, what would you be willing to do in this church that Jesus would get the glory? That people would see that Jesus is here and these are his people. What would you be willing to do to show that? Remember the grace you've been given with the presence of the gifts here. The grace that abounds to us. The grace gifts. And recognize when you're with other people that have gifts, it is God's grace to you. And I don't know about you, I'm at a point in my life, I need as much of that grace as I can have. And God will give to me, and that is found when you're with the body of Christ and we're using our gifts, the grace abounds. Some of us need to just be here because we need the grace in our lives. And then we recognize as that grace is given that there's something that we also can give. And finally, learn the place that each of us have here in being a member of the body of Christ. I really want each and every one of us that are here and those that would even listen to this message later on, that we might point back to this message as a very pivotal point in the life of this church body. That's when we began to see we are one body with many members, and the Christian ministry that God will bring forth from this place because of his grace and the work of the Spirit of God, because we are Christ's body. People that walk in from the outside and they see something special is going on here. And it's not just the number of people. It's there's one body and many members. Look at all the people that are serving. Look at all the ways that people are giving and receiving and loving and serving. Would you pray with me that we would be more that way? That each of the ministries that we're involved in here, that every single one of us, and we would become known as a church of servants, a church of many members, and that people would see on display the unity of the body and the diversity of the gifts. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we ask that you do your plans and purposes for us as a church body here at New Life Fellowship. I am so thankful for the many, Lord, that you have raised up that serve. And this message is an encouragement to them because they understand the place that you've given them. And they're in this body. And they are that one that you have desired to serve in that way. And they're fulfilling that. I pray also, Father, for the one here who maybe they have a defective attitude of, maybe they have a divisive attitude. I'm so grateful that the Spirit of God can work and the grace of God can abound, that we would show ourselves to be the body of Christ here, one body, many members. Would you help us to be unified in that purpose? That you, Lord Jesus, would receive all the glory. We really just want to be tools in the carpenter's hand to do the work that you've desired to do, Lord Jesus. And so we ask now that you would do that for your glory in this church body, in this community. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.